Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. And this week we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, through to chapter 5, verse 1, and why we are not to lose heart, but rather believe and so be rest assured in the knowledge that God has raised Jesus. So from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." There is nothing as devastating as division. It was a great burden of the Apostle Paul. He saw the church at Corinth, of which he was truly the father, divided. Some were of Cephas, some of Apollos, some said they followed Paul. Another group said they were of a new spirit, a free spirit. Suddenly everything became open questions. Can't a man marry his father's wife? Can't brothers in the faith sue in court? Can't we divorce? Can't brothers eat food sacrificed to pagan idols? Can't women and men pray in any covering they deem acceptable? Can't we believe whatever we want about the Lord's Supper? Issues like these can divide and destroy churches. They can break hearts, and they can also cause shepherd and sheep to lose heart, to say, the world is getting worse, evil wins all the battles, what's the use? Well, the answer is, not quite. Yes, the devil does win battles, and afflictions do weigh heavy upon us, and our own sinful nature doesn't help either. However, do not lose heart. These things are temporary. They will pass away. They are not eternal. Adam and Eve suffered when kicked out of the Garden of Eden, but they came to repentance. Jesus' own family was divided from him early in his ministry, but was of one accord with them after the ascension, Acts 1:14. And so here I am too, teaching and preaching. Don't lose heart. Keep looking ahead. Suffering is short. Glory is eternal. I do so knowing perfectly well that the Holy Spirit wishes to strengthen this faith in you, that which has been poured into you and continues to overflow by the grace of God. So rather than lose heart, in faith we speak, suffer, and anticipate. In faith we speak. We have the same faith given to us at our baptism. We believe as the saints who've gone before us. We have the same spirit as St. Paul, who had the same spirit as Noah, Abraham, David, and Isaiah. And this spirit of Paul's has manifested himself in the New Testament through our Lord himself, in whom, having expressed his passion as the Son of God, we draw our strength. This is our emphasis, and why we are not divided by the presence of any one saint, even the blessed Martin Luther. The reason we pride ourselves as Lutherans is because, like St. Paul, Luther said it's all about Jesus. It's about looking and seeing things which to the common eye are not visible. The whole point of faith is that we do not see with our eyes, but we see by the grace of the Spirit. This is obvious enough, as we often only have God's promises in Scripture to go on. But you see, that is something we do have. We know God raised Jesus from the dead, and so we now also have his promise that he will raise us too. And so faith that God has raised Jesus and that he will raise all who believe moves the saints, that's you and me, to speak. We see it as Paul and the other apostles just couldn't keep silent. They traveled the world and even went to their deaths proclaiming the resurrection. Therefore we too shall tell a dead and dying world about the life we believe Jesus won for all people. when we're with our mother or father in the last hours of their lives, comforting them with the promise of the resurrection, or when we're with a dying friend with cancer, when we visit those members who have just found out that they won't be able to walk again and they need desperate comfort and assurance that these frail bodies will rise again. It is for their sakes that we speak, where it seems even our own flesh betrays us. Christ has not. In faith we suffer. There's perhaps no greater evidence of the faith of the early Christians than that they were willing to suffer for it. Paul and countless others were killed for their believing in Jesus. They could have saved their necks by renouncing him, by denying the one they could not see or prove. But why would they, when they know Christ has power not only for this temporal life, but for eternity? So, they went to carry their crosses, sometimes literally, to absorb the flames of the devil, or to literally die at the stake, to stand and face the arena, or to literally be swallowed by lions, to take the abuse thrown at them with mockery and revulsion, or to even fall by the sword. And why? Because they were that certain Jesus had risen and would raise them as well. 1 Corinthians 15:32. Yet today, we face plenty of sufferings that could cause us to lose heart. Baptism itself can no longer be taken for granted, even in our Christian society. It's not even the done thing anymore. Worse, we constantly struggle with those who don't want to bring their infants to baptism, even if they know baptism is good and right. Everyone wants their own children to make the decision, taking away the very power and promise which baptism bestows. For in our baptism we are united with Christ. We have died with him, and that is not of our doing, but is miraculously attached to us by his word. That is what the majority of society now refuse to give to their children. And when they're old enough, the message they will take away is that baptism was not important enough to be given to them as a child. So what's the point? And that's another kind of suffering. And someone who is not grounded in the scriptures will not nearly be ready to endure the sufferings that each child of God must, in each of our own versions of being rejected by the world, endure. If not lions and crosses and being put to the stake, then rejection, isolation, and mocking at least. Because here's the thing. If you are comfortable with the way the world is, then there's something wrong. There is something crucially wrong with the way your faith works. Faith should be clinging to the promise of the ultimate restoration of all things. That means a new heavens and a new earth. We don't need to bring it about. We just need to believe it. God will bring this about. And if this is what we're looking forward to, this is how we're suffering. It hasn't come yet. Is this living in a dream fantasy? Our own Christian bubble? No. No one can escape the world around us. It is patiently enduring until the end. It is loving God and loving our neighbor as best we can, as ourselves, until the end. That is how our faith can endure such suffering. It can if and because we rightly anticipate it. We know who we really are. We know that the deeper truth isn't we're all good inside and just need to tap into our goodness, but that we are all deeply sinful and need God's forgiveness. The release, if you will, of goodness comes not from thinking better of ourselves, but realizing that God's forgiveness sets us free, that having been promised eternity through Christ, we can make a difference by sharing this good news, in both word and deed, by loving others as we have been loved. Our love is then a fruit we also in faith anticipate. Everything is done in faith. Just as Jesus went to the cross believing that God would raise him, even though he knew that his afflictions were anything but light, that they were the full punishments of hell for the sins of the entire world, that an eternity of suffering was compressed into hours of time, he lived in sure hope, sure faith in his Father. The good news is that the Father did raise him. This is fact, and therefore, as assuredly as Jesus is raised from the dead, shall all be raised in him. The promise of which was attached to each of us at our baptism. We now look beyond the earthly and that which is seen to a greater glory. We now anticipate heaven. It will be ours one day, and we will see that today's afflictions were but momentary. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is why we do not lose heart, for we have been united to Jesus in his death and his resurrection, in his name and for his sake. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. This Sunday we have our usual program of Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. All are welcome to join us. As for next week in Faith That Functions, for our lesson we will be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and why we are to take courage because of what Christ has done in his body. So stay tuned, and I'll speak to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series Faith That Functions. In the meantime, God's peace be with you, now and always.